So this is the Living Legacy Project, and I am here with Jamie Schmidt on October 28th, 2016. And Jamie, thank you so much for making the time to come in and sit down with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So it's an incredible treat that Jamie was able to sit down with us because she leaves the country in, well, you leave the country in what, like a week?
Yes.
Yes, but you leave here Monday.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So this question, the first one I ask, you know, it's a very nebulous question, and you can answer it whatever way you want, but what inspired you to want to be an artist with your life?
Well, that is a big question.
I know.
But I guess growing up I was always creative, as everybody, but for me I had a rough upbringing, so I stuck with it, and that was kind of my secret hiding spot, just making things. And that didn't have to be straightforward drawings or paintings, although that was included, but it was also like nature and collecting things and just a bunch of different avenues, as art is kind of an open-ended thing. But I decided to study it when I was probably just entering high school because it was the only thing that I really felt really comfortable with, and I didn't know exactly why I was like that. Nobody in my family is the same. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to understand what art was, so I went to college for it. And now I'm kind of questioning the same thing, so that's why I'm going to explore what, because I think art can be anything rather than just being a traditional artist. You can do anything and be an artist.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Now, where did you go to school?
Damon College.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what were your experiences with the art program there? With what are some things maybe did you feel that you did learn about yourself as an artist there, or actually did it teach you what you don't want to be as an artist?
It did both. I don't want to talk too badly about Damon, but I did have a lot of issues at the end of my career there. What Damon allowed me to do was to access a lot of information and be organized and allow me to really devote time to researching things. So I would say at the end of my senior year beginning, or end of my junior year beginning of my senior year there, I started to really get into phenomenology, and that opened up like the whole perspective of what art is, and art is everything, and it's a phenomenon of life and living and everything about it. So at that point, I was breaking off from traditional art, and I was doing installation, although I was a painting major there. So although I was learning and researching a lot, the professors were all very traditional and modernist in a way. And besides the adjunct professors, they all supported me a lot in my study of installation and work doing that. It was really hard for the main professors to accept me as a painter. So at the end of Damon, they kind of, I was on the dean's list basically the whole time. And towards the end, they started to kind of shun me for being different, which was really weird considering it's art school and that's what they're teaching me. And I had a lot of research to back up what I was doing. So in the end, I ended up making a series of very obvious paintings, those ones that I showed you in my attic, the magnified alleviation. And that was basically just, I just showed up one day at the BFA critiques without them expecting me. And I was just like, here's a series of paintings. If you wanted something simple, here's something simple. And they all were just like, what? Where did you come from? And then they just like let me go. But in order to just pass, I did a whole installation before, and they just didn't understand how it was painting. So it basically taught me research is good. Do as much research as you can and ignore what the institution's telling you, because not necessarily all institutions, but be specific about where you take your things, because not everyone will accept it.
Well, you know, also quite honestly, everything you're saying, I've heard from a lot of other people who went to other institutions. I don't know if it's even necessarily one institution, but the institutionalization of creativity.
Exactly.
At this point, I've done 60 plus interviews with artists at all different stages of their careers.
That's amazing.
It's pretty crazy when I actually like sit back and look at it. And, you know, there are those who really found their path through the program they chose, and then there are others who found themselves through the conflicts they went through with their programs, right? Because they really had to articulate themselves as the other, you know, and acknowledge why that's the path they're taking. And so, looking at both maybe some of the professors who were supportive of you, but also looking at some of those artists or eras that you were researching, what have been some influences on your career?
I guess the most influential things in my life don't necessarily come from art, although I can appreciate and respect other artists and relate to them. It's mainly from experiences that happen away from that. So, I don't know, for example, when I started meditating a lot more and doing activities that revolve around that, whether that be playing with sound or going to spaces that, I don't know, just acting on a whim and doing random adventurous things, those are the most inspirational for me. I just, it's like an innate thing in, I think, all people, is to be inspired by their surroundings rather than what's being taught to us. Although, I mean, I do find different artists to be extremely influential. I guess the only artist that really made me take a look and realize that art doesn't need to be what it is traditionally taught was Marina Abramović when I was at The Artist Is Present. And I was pretty young when I went to that. So when I walked into the MoMA and just saw a line of people at the door waiting to just sit across from somebody, that made me really question a lot of what art is. And then I was walking through two naked people, and it's like, that's an experience. It's not something that you can just go online or like put on your wall. It's about experiencing something. And then, I don't know, I guess recently Andrea Zittel, I've thought a lot about how she does the same thing. But yeah, those, it's mainly female artists, and it's, I don't, that's, it might not be a coincidence, but it seems like there's a lot of female artists who are allowing people to experience art rather than just handing it to them to put on a wall.
I wonder too if there's any relationship there with, you know, within a patriarchal society, already being told that you're othered, you know, so it's like in some ways if you're outside of the rules, although I'm not implying that women are outside of the rules within a patriarchal society, they are who the rules are based on.
Yeah.
But if you're breaking out of that, maybe it makes it easier to break out of all sorts of other structures of what you've been told is the way to do something.
Yeah, I think that definitely has pushed me. I remember when I was creating things for Damon, I just had a bunch of flat paintings, but they were mainly really aggressive, like expressionistic paintings of guts and like brain matter and intestines and whatnot. And one of the things I really remember was I didn't realize that this was anything different. I was just doing what I wanted to do and what I wanted to express. And a lot of specifically older white men were coming up to me when they saw it and questioning it and suggesting that I had a dark side, which that, I guess, was the first thing that made me realize that it's just the idealization of females is, it's real, and I have separated myself so much from it that I didn't even question what I was doing, but it kind of came up to me and confronted me. So,
but did it make you question yourself anymore?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
I just do what I do.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right that, you know, there is this softness to feminization, you know, that's implicit and that's kind of prescribed. And anyone who's not participating in that but finding other routes to, you know, express themselves is judged.
Yeah.
You know.
It is.
Yeah.
But if you feel it, you have to do it.
Yeah. And so can you speak at all to ways in which you have found self-validation within a maybe more, if not hostile, more in environments that lack understanding to where you're coming from? Like, how do you keep your compass or know which way your compass is pointing when you've been in situations where others have said, are you sure that's the route?
I found my little areas of the little pockets of people who do understand, mm-hmm. or if not understand, then they at least acknowledge my existence and they let me just do what I do. And I don't know how that happened because I have such weird ideas and I'm pretty young and I don't know. It's really bizarre. I think Buffalo has helped me just open up as a person and also an artist because, I mean, for example, the Silo project, they just asked me to hang some things on the Silo wall and I was like, wait a second, I have a way bigger idea. Can we try to do this? And it's just the people who are in charge of different cultural activities, like Noah Flack at just Buffalo Literary Center. He's a writer and a poet, but he runs the non-for-profit and he knows about art, but I just, coming at him with that idea, he was totally open for it and like just ready to accept it. And also like all of the community in Buffalo, like the music scene, they were like, that's weird, let's do it. And then, I don't know, the cocktail scene, people in that, like, that's a whole separate scene. They were all the same reaction came from every person that I told. They were just like, oh, that's weird, and that's not happening yet, so let's make that happen. So I guess I've just found the right people.
I think there's a lot of those people in Buffalo. I actually, this is a strange day for me where I've done two interviews back to back. And earlier I was just interviewing David and his mentor and professor, Nils Vigeland, who is performing here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that Nils mentioned that really stuck with me is he was talking about Morty Feldman,
mm-hmm.
who was in the New Music School at the University of Buffalo. And he's saying, you know, Morty, he didn't care about your resume. He didn't care about what you'd done before, you know,
mm-hmm.
to give you the opportunity to do something big and weird and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very true of the mentality of Buffalo. You know, it's not about pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
It's about creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have the idea? And even if the idea doesn't come across perfectly, you know, how far, if you can take it as far as you can,
mm-hmm.
that's something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think we're just searching for, it's a revitalization of the whole city, and I don't know if it necessarily has been like this forever, but people are searching for new creative things that can happen because there's so much happening around them that I think people want to squeeze in
mm-hmm.
every possible creative thing that they can.
Mm-hmm. And I think the city has an environment of being receptive to it, but I'm not talking about necessarily systems of governance or anything
mm-hmm.
like that, but a city is made up of people.
Yeah.
You know, are receptive to weird things.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We have weird things here, like the grain elevators, these giant structures that are just sitting there.
Yeah.
And the little bat blue cans. The pedal tours. Like there's tons of weird things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're just desperate for change.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking more so I'm one of the organizers with the Infringement Festival, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember your piece from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that piece titled again?
Infringement of Human Bodies.
Yeah. And so can you speak a little bit about that work?
Sure. So that was actually when I was finishing up Damon. That was right after I was finishing up Damon. So I was still kind of riled up on the idea of something having to be a painting or something having to be, I don't know, subjective, and I wanted people to experience what I was doing in my studio. So basically I painted them all white, like a white canvas. And I wanted it to be all separate people also because that I knew separately and individually and nobody really knew each other. It was a multifaceted thing, so this might seem scattered and not make sense, but for some reason it makes sense in my head. I was meeting so many people who were accepting of my ideas and none of them knew each other. So I wanted to bring all these people who didn't know each other, have them strip down and be naked and drink a beer, and then paint them all white, and then walk them from my house to, which was on the west side, to through the west side, down to Elmwood Village, and then down Elmwood Avenue to Allen Street to the co-op house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we got so many different reactions on the way there. From on the west side, it seems like people were shouting at us more. And then through Elmwood Village, people were like taking pictures and taking selfies. And then Allentown, people were knew something was going on for the infringement, so they started to kind of gather around. And then what I did was just take all of my studio things. And that was when I was deciding that I didn't really want, I wanted to break out of the studio mentality. So I guess I was just visually breaking out of my studio mentality by taking all of my things outside of my studio and just layering them on top of people. So the paint and the fabric and the strings, and just wrapping them in it and allowing them to create the painting themselves with their bodies, to really know what was going on with me as an artist and going through the break, I guess. So yeah, then they were just covered in colors and strings, and then we just walked and got a beer, and then we were done. And then people took selfies with us.
I mean, that was an incredible piece to experience, and also an added layer of context is I live at the co-op house.
Mm-hmm.
So to like come outside and see this incredible interactive art experience, and I remember you just like throwing buckets of paint on them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just like watching it fall on all these different people and on their different parts, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, talk about space for creative weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's also like really elevating as a community to be like, yeah, we have the space to allow people to do stuff.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
This.
It was Yeah, it felt really, really good to even just, I was nervous because I've never done a performance, but I just put myself in the mode where it wasn't a performance, it was just me in my studio, and these people were just minds of their own that were helping me create something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's
yeah.
like you gave the canvas a mind, or many
yeah,
minds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really cool piece.
Yeah, that one was really fun.
Well, here we are. Let's transition into our next question, which is, can you talk about your art and what you create and why you create it? Another big one.
Yeah. I guess if it's whatever is happening in my life, that's what is making me create. Being in an institution, I was creating things that were made up of art materials, made up of paint. And once I started to physically be and mentally be in different places, I built based on that. So going from painting to sculpture, being in my house, and then I guess, yeah, it's what's going on in my life. I created a lot of really fleshy, visceral material for a while, and that's because I was going through some personal issues with my father being ill, and that's what I was trying to express, and I was being a lot more expressionistic because that was what was going on in my life. And now that my dad has been stable for a while and I've been meditating, I've been doing a lot of pieces around space and meditation. So, and I want people to experience what I'm experiencing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And now moving to Chile, I am reclaiming my individuality and my happiness and being able to explore. And I can't really say what's going to happen, but I know that I want to learn a lot. And I guess with learning comes creativity, and whatever happens will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenology. That's basically how I can describe it. It's whatever is happening around me filters through me and then comes back out
yes.
somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm currently reading a really great biography of Lee Krasner. At one point, the biographer Gail Levine, I think, or Levin, is writing about this interaction between Krasner's professor Hans Hoffman and
mm-hmm.
Jackson Pollock, right?
Mm-hmm.
On a studio visit when Hoffman came out, and Hoffman, who always had everyone draw from life, but draw from still life, so you're from a still life on a table or something. Hoffman asked Pollock and said, "Do you draw from nature?" And Pollock said, I am nature. Mm-hmm. You know, and so really talking about being rooted in oneself. And
yeah.
Granted, Pollock is fucked on all sorts of levels. But
yeah. No, but that statement is, that's so true. I mean, that's the main reason that I'm going to Chile is because I want to be, I want to feel like I'm free and not have to worry about everything. There's so much going on in America right now, and I didn't have anything to do with it. So it feels like it's just happening to me, and I'm just a person. I'm just a part of nature. So I just really want to go and spend 2 weeks hiking through and being a part of nature. Just, it's, we're so far removed.
I feel like you actually touched on my next question as well, which is talking about the different themes that emerge in your work. But would you like to say anything more about some of the different series that, you know, and maybe you don't conceive of them as a series when you're working on
mm-hmm.
them. I'm not implying that you do, or
yeah.
that you don't. But looking back now on some different chapters of your career thus far, is there anything else you'd like to add about themes in your work?
I thought about narrowing it down to some things, some basic areas, and that might be the study of, it's actually really simple, the study of the human body as it relates to emotions and the other and the spaces around it, the person.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that person be me, someone else, or the body be mine or somebody else's, it's just the study of consciousness, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and through the human experience. And that sounds really cliche and broad, but like that's the best way that I can narrow it down.
Mm-hmm. And I guess from my perspective, even if the concepts are broad, you know, physiology, right? What's the term?
Phenomenology. Yeah.
It's always filtered through you.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's always your unique lens that nobody else can bring
yeah.
to it.
Of course. Yeah.
So when I got to come over and look at your studio the other day, there were sculptures made from found materials and like old pantyhose and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also your painting series that I think you did present to Damon,
mm-hmm.
looking at the different stages of healing of a wound
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And so the materials you use in your creative process seems very divergent at
mm-hmm.
different points. But if you looked at your creative process, is there any themes running through that? Or like, how do you get started on a project?
I think that's changing right now because I've had a studio and I have things like objects in my studio and objects in my home, and sometimes they intermingle. So I guess maybe a theme is something that is easily malleable or something that I don't need heavy machinery to do.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do things with just my hands. So, for example, the whole silo thing was done just with my hands, hand sewing and pulling up that giant piece of spandex.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, all of those sculptures, that was just me, like, stuffing and testing and just doing things with my hands. I never follow any rules. I don't look up online how to mix paint. I just do what I need to do instinctually. I guess that's the only theme that I could come across. I think that it's going to change while I'm traveling a lot. And, I mean, some of my ideas actually come, a lot of my ideas come when I'm traveling. And then that's when the different thing happens where it's not me just thinking about materials. It's like I have a vision and I see, I don't know, spandex stretching across like 500 trees and then like having one hole in it, I don't know, something.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of it is something that's soft. Most of it is soft.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my things are soft, I guess.
Maybe in this next chapter, you're going to go and learn new ways to use your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe that'll influence then the things you're able to do with your hands.
Exactly.
And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I guess there's always a balance, too, between, because I say soft, but there's still, like, some element of aggression in most of them. Even the silo one, which was like the most feminine, soft thing that I've ever done, there were still pieces of the spandex that were ripped and sewed to another piece of cloth so that it's like stretching apart. So there's always an element between beauty and decay, I guess. I don't ever want to leave something looking perfect. So maybe that's a theme that will continue to carry through no matter what I do. But I can't really predict the future, so.
Admittedly, though, that's why I was really excited to ask you to come in to sit down before you left, because in case you do ever come back, in case you come back 10 years from now, right, or 15 years from now, in case you come back to have a show somewhere, you know, or even here, who's to say? But I think it's going to be really interesting to be able to have this comparison between who you are now and who you're going to become. And that's true of everybody, and that's true of everybody that I interview, but I think it's in a really nice little package with you. Well, also very open-ended.
Yeah.
Very open-ended.
I definitely know that something, whenever I'm traveling, and this is the biggest thing I've ever done, I, like, completely open up, and I'm, like, a whole brand new person. I'm like a newborn baby.
It's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
And a very vulnerable place, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But it's okay.
Yeah.
Because you can always just get on a plane and come back to Buffalo and get a cheap apartment.
Yep.
Well, actually, I don't know for how long. But
nothing gold can stay.
Yeah.
This is a very, in some ways, fluffy question. And you can read it however you want. But is there anything you hope to achieve with your art?
I think that there is. And I think that's why I'm having this need to travel right now, because I know that my art needs to be informed by some sort of change that needs to happen, if that makes sense. I've always been interested in the environment and sustainability, and that's something that I've never really devoted time to research because I've been learning about art. So I want to tell a message through my art. I'm just evolving into that message, so I don't really know exactly what it is yet. I'm just learning.
But you did mention it, like sustainability, from some of the other things I've heard you say thus far when we've been talking, inward reflection, right? And seeing how the outward articulation of that comes. Yeah.
A lot of it, I like am a metaphor and symbol maker between different things, so I always compare things back and forth to my human existence and my personal life and the world and the area that I'm in. In Buffalo especially, I found a lot of metaphors, especially in the silo, because it's this environment that's been decaying and has had so much use but is somehow being revitalized in so many different ways, creatively and financially. And that's kind of how I see myself right now, is I've been here for a while and I've been kind of broken down and vulnerable, and I have had so many experiences that have emotionally tattered my existence. And I'm trying to revitalize myself and renew my environment. And that's kind of a metaphor for Buffalo too. I don't know. I always have the bouncing back and forth of personal experience and environment around me. So I think that that's also going to happen. I think that that's the only way that I could really feel passionate about something, even though that sounds selfish. It's, if I don't feel it really, like, completely within myself, then it's hard for me to do.
That's totally valid.
Yeah.
How, you know, passion is from within.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to find something that is that catalyst.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. There's a whole world of catalysts.
Yeah.
Just have to grab them.
And know how to protect yourself as you're grabbing for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes they can burn you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I found too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these last questions stem from where this project started, which was the Living Legacy Project grew out of an acknowledgement that there are way more artists in Buffalo who are deserving of attention and gallery space and wall space than we have wall space. You know, like at the Birchfield, we're currently planning exhibitions about 5 years out. So this involved the Birchfield really looking and saying, okay, what are some other ways that we can support artists at all different stages of their careers, even if we don't have the wall space to give them? And how can we help? How can we provide resources that are beneficial to them and that would help them progress their own careers in whatever that means? Like, an artistic career does not mean one thing, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm not implying that it does or that there's one end goal that everybody's reaching for.
Mm-hmm.
But so these last few questions are more about what you need as an artist to progress yourself
mm-hmm.
and your career. So, but if you can speak first about some of the things you have done thus far to advance your career in the arts. You know,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned when we were talking earlier about curating that exhibition,
mm-hmm.
right? Can you speak to some of those experiences?
Yeah, I guess in order to fully understand, I've been on a quest to understand what art is and what the importance of gallery spaces are and what the importance of museums and institutions are. And I can only do that by seeing them from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I interned at the Albright Knox first under the curator, which was really interesting to me because they do so much research about everything, about the artist, about the artist's life, about what they're doing in their studio and what they're doing in their home. And that to me was really interesting. So I've respected that sort of approach. But curating at the Manuel Barreto Gallery, that was also interesting because it allowed me to use my artistic capabilities to just use the people and their mediums as a medium.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're trying to tell, say, one idea, so for example, the idea was the material nature, the nature of materiality, and if that even exists anymore, and how artists can show that. So doing that was also really interesting. I really like to incorporate every aspect of the senses in that, so sound, sight, smell, temperature, everything, like what people are eating, what people are drinking, so that everything is being fed to them. And that was something that was really awesome for me to be able to do. But at the same time, I had a really hard time interacting with people who were at the show and didn't quite understand what was going on and being confronted about that instead of the people just experiencing it and letting it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have set up a fake, like a little, I guess it's a circumstance, set up a circumstance for people to walk into and just let them not speak really the whole time, just accept it and leave. But it was really hard because there's something about people in an art show that they want to talk and boast what they know, which is something that just happens.
Mm-hmm.
With people in society, but I really just, that part of that really bothered me, so
mm-hmm.
I stepped away from that, and I just worked a normal bar back job to get some money and just thought about my art in my own time,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm deciding to just really delve into myself and my environment because I know that I can't do that anymore, although I do respect it. I respect curation and research and everything. It's just being confronted about it by people is what makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think what I'm kind of taking away from that question is like what you've done personally to advance your art is to move away from a career in the arts in some ways.
Yeah, I just want to be free to create, and if people choose to acknowledge that, then that's really awesome. But if I can just be free to create, that's my ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be able to sustain myself doing what I love and learning,
mm-hmm.
rather than constraining myself.
What are some of your needs as an artist that the larger community could provide? And maybe these are some things that like you needed that you didn't get.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is definitely funding. Funding is really important, and it's a big process in order to get funding, and that's the thing that can stunt creativity. It's like if you have an idea to do something and you have all the information there and you can just, it's hard to have that idea and be ready to do it and then have to sit and wait for somehow to do it, although it would be beneficial to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So doing that silo project, I did all grassroots funding because I knew that that was the quickest way that I could possibly get money.
Mm-hmm.
But it really stunted my growth as a creative to just be reaching out to all of these people. At the same time, it was really interesting to talk to the community and have them think about what I'm doing. But if I were to have that time that I had used for reaching out to just explore my materials and explore the space more, I could have done something completely. I already know I have, like, I've had way bigger plans for the silos, but it wasn't possible because of the time constraint and the lack of funding.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really difficult.
Yeah. It's really such a double-edged sword in some ways because, like, sometimes if you have funding, it comes with strings.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
And so it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I'm trying to learn how to sustain myself and just build from my environment. In a way, I would have never started to use paint unless I was in school, because that's what they taught me, was the materials that I could use. But that's really old. There's new ways of creating, and I really want to learn how to create using new technology and using what I know exists rather than something that is considered an art material.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm not going to go into it because anything could happen in the future, but I just want to stay away from traditional material
because
it's just something that's taught, not innately known.
And it sounds like you'll get to do so much more learning and research with the things that you have to teach yourself the reasons why,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather than being told the reasons why and then teaching yourself how to use them,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I guess I just don't trust what's ever being taught to me because there's so many facets to why we're being taught that.
So this last question, I have two last questions, but I'm going to kind of alter them. The last question as it's written is, what would help advance your artistic career? But, and I think you have touched on this, but I'm going to rephrase it. What would help you advance yourself as a creative person, as an artist,
mm-hmm.
in general, regardless of career?
Mm-hmm. Exploration and growth and learning and travel. I really don't agree with a lot of the American traditions of art or just our history.
Mm-hmm.
So I just really think that I'm going to follow what I'm inspired by. And sometimes that's Japanese tea. Like I want to go to Japan to study the tea ceremonies because there's something really beautiful about the way that they accept the wabi-sabi tea ceremony, the cups, the cracked cups. It's just like things like that. It's just anything that I'm interested in, I'm just going to start to do. And I think that that's what would help me as a creative person, is just going with intuition and being where I feel safe, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this last question as it's written is, what advice do you have for emerging artists? And in some ways you're an emerging artist yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, but so you can either answer it like that, or you could, the other way I phrase it sometimes is, what advice would you give yourself when you were in high school?
I guess it would just be to keep your backbone, just be strong and go with your intuition. I don't know, I think that everything that people go through, they have to go through in order to learn something else. So just to stay strong and use your intuition and don't let society tell you what to do.
Awesome.
I guess that's all.
So that's all the questions as they are written. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I guess not. No, not right now.
You're going to think about it right when you're on the plane.
I know. Like, oh my God. I should have let her know.
And should that happen, if you get to a computer and you can write something up and send it to me, we will put it on your artist profile page.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, thank you for archiving me.
Yeah. Jamie, thank you so much for sitting down with me here today and for taking the time. I know you're incredibly busy these last few days, but I'm really grateful to have a chance to document you as an artist in Western New York. And no matter where you go, this little interview will stay here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank
That's
you.
So nice.
Yeah.
Leaving a little fingerprint here.
Yeah, and maybe an actual one of your fingerprints.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Drawings, fingerprint drawings.
You could just shave off my fingers.
<That's it. laughs> No.